family. You're listening to Gay After 30, your weekly queer podcast for all things gay and grown. I'm your host, Key, aka your favorite gay auntie, and I'm excited you stopped by. At Gay After 30, we discuss all things that matter to gay grown-ups, from finance, to wellness, to relationships, and everything in between. Come join the family, and because this podcast is all about you, send us your questions and discussion suggestions at gayafter30@gmail.com. This podcast is available on all major streaming platforms. Don't forget to rate and subscribe. I look forward to hearing from you. Hi, family. Happy New Year, and welcome back to Gay After 30, your favorite queer weekly podcast discussing all things gay and grown. I'm your host, Key Tovar, aka your favorite gay auntie, and I'm happy that you joined us today. I'm excited to talk about the subject for today, which is why I decided to buy a home and my perspective on the importance of home ownership for LGBTQ people of color. So what will be included in the discussion will be obstacles to home ownership, why I decided to buy a home, how I actually did it, and how you can do it. Cool? Alright, let's get started. Some of the obstacles for buying a home for LGBTQ people are, Realtor.com created an article released an article in June of 2020 that stated that LGBTQ Americans are less likely to be homeowners than our straight counterparts. And this was according to the LGBT real estate report that was produced by the National Association of Gay and Lesbian Professionals and Freddie Mac. The reason they gave for this was discrimination in the home buying process and fear of said discrimination, which lesbians fear discrimination the most. Also, a reason for the lower rates is likely discrimination in employment. So give a shout out to the Equality Act. Another article, which was released in 2019, was this 2019 Iowa State University study that showed same-sex applicants were 73% more likely to be denied a mortgage than their straight counterparts. And also it showed that we paid slightly higher fees. So that fear of discrimination that we discussed earlier was not unfounded. There's literally data that shows that we are being discriminated against. Another reason for low rates of home ownership I say is based on location and expense. So many of us moved out of our affordable, conservative hometowns and moved to more liberal, welcoming, but unfortunately expensive cities. So there comes a point where you literally just can't afford to buy where you live. For example, I'm from Blytheville, Arkansas. I often think about what I paid to live in Philadelphia, which is an affordable city in context of the Northeast. But still, when I compare it to what I would have paid and what I would have received had I bought a house in Arkansas versus what I paid here, it's really kind of shocking, to say the least. So there does come a point where just buying in a more liberal city area just becomes too expensive and becomes an obstacle to home ownership. And especially, this is especially true for those of us who may not have the family support. And even still, for some of us who do have the family support, the family may not have the financial ability to help with the down payment that many of our counterparts are receiving, either from an inheritance or from a gift from their family members. So for many of us in the queer community, just the expense of it all becomes a barrier to home ownership. when you add on just intersectional discrimination, so as a black gay woman, right, like, you compound that, there are multiple opportunities for discrimination in ways that we may be penalized for just being. And I also just want to give a disclaimer before we even start. I know that many of you are transient, you really don't like to stay any place too long because that's just not your flow, that's not your style, you like to explore. So the idea of home ownership or the concept of it just doesn't really work for you. Valid. Please don't come for me. I know that many of you may think that home ownership is just another way into the capitalistic programming. Valid. Please don't come for me. I understand. I am creating this particular podcast session for those who are interested in home ownership and just want the information. Because I just remember thinking that I would never be able to buy a home alone, right? That I would probably buy one when I got married, but I would never be able to afford one alone, and it's just not true. So I just want to pass this information forward. Please do not shoot the messenger, okay? Second disclaimer, I am not a real estate expert. I am also not a finance expert. Please do not take any of this as advice. This is just me sharing information of what I did and what happened for me and some tips that I have. Go to a professional. Take what I'm telling you, research it for yourself, go to a professional. Say all that to say, don't sue me. Got it? Help me, help you, don't sue me. Awesome. So, let's get started. All right. My reason for buying a home. So, when I first got to Philadelphia, I moved to West Philadelphia in this house at 5215. And the house was owned by a queer black woman. Shout out to Amelia. And she was renting two of her rooms out to me and to another queer black woman named Chanel. So shout out to Chanel. Amelia used to, one, it just blew my mind that like a young queer black woman owned this house, right? Because that it made it real for me. It meant that I could also own this house. And then, or own a house, not your house, Amelia, sorry. And then Amelia used to throw these parties, right? And it would be 100 queer, black, or brown, trans, all the members of the community, of the family, in this row house in West Philadelphia. And it was the most magical, one of the most magical things. And even though I'm an introvert and I kind of like duck in and out of the parties, when I was in that space, I saw how I wanted that, right? I wanted at least the ability to do that, to create community or to harness community and to create a space for fellowship. Because let's just be real, a lot of the times when we're going out to these clubs, like there's racism and there's also homophobia, transphobia, and so the house party has always been a thing, and it will always be a thing. And so this was just really, really something that impacted me. The fact that she would throw these house parties at our house, and it made me think, like, I really want to have a house so that I can create fellowship. So that was one reason. But there's also building wealth. Since I lived in that home, Amelia, I believe, bought the home, let's say that's just a hypothetical number, for $130,000-$140,000. And the home now is like worth over $200,000 just over the last 3 or 4 years. Building wealth. Now she can take the equity out of that home and then she can buy another home, an investment home, from that equity. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to buy a home, because it's a way for me to build wealth. And even not using the equity or a HELOC to finance another home, just if I want to stay in this home and leave something to my nieces and nephews, or if you're intending to have children, leave something to them, or use it later on down the line to take out some money to pay for college. Home ownership is a way to build that wealth. So that was one of the reasons. And also laying roots. I like Philadelphia. I felt like I wanted to stay in Philadelphia. And so buying a home was a way for me to kind of solidify that. And also the fact that I am a mentor. I mentor young women basketball players. And sometimes there are situations where young women are kind of getting into it with their parents, or just kind of an unstable home. And I remember when I was young and there was Shani and Sheila, anytime that just home didn't feel right or safe for me, I could always go to their house and kind of let off some steam and to relax and rejuvenate myself. And so I wanted to have that space for other young people. And so that was one of my reasons for buying a home. So there are a lot of other reasons, but those were the major reasons I decided to buy a home. And so now I'm going to tell you how I did it. So I just spoke about 5215 and Amelia. Amelia ran out of room to me for $450 to $500, I believe, right? Let me say that again, $450, $500. So although I was an attorney, I didn't have the ego to say I need to live in a luxury apartment. So just also first, don't get it twisted, I'm a public interest attorney. Like, I could have afforded to live in the luxury apartment, but also it would have been a you're pressing a key. But still, I could have for sure lived in an apartment on my own. Nope. I realized that I wanted to save. Whether I was saving for a house at the time really just didn't matter, but I just know that I wanted to save. So Amelia renting out that space for $450, $500 really helped me get on my savings plan. And it was also something that inspired me that I want to do that for other young Black queer professional or brown queer professionals, to kind of help them out, help them get their start. So I rented a room instead of buying a place or renting my own place. So there was one way I got on the path of saving for a house. After I decided maybe I kind of just need to live by myself, right? Because there are times where you outgrow situations. I moved into another apartment in West Philly and I paid $700 a month. I didn't try to jump up and, like, although my salary was increasing as the number of years increased on work, I didn't try to jump up and get into a luxury apartment because all of my friends or my colleagues were buying homes. I didn't try to get outside of myself, right? By that time, I decided that I was going to buy a house, so I had a plan because I knew that I was going to have to do the entire down payment by myself. So I stayed in my $700 studio with my faux brick walls, and I made it cute, honey, okay? I got my interior decorating friends, hooked me up with, you know, a little space, okay? We're gonna Nola Darling this out, okay? We're gonna make it work. And I did make it work for 2 years. And so that was another thing. When I got my apartment, I didn't try to just do too much, you know. I was still focused on saving. Also, I was in this program, or I looked up this program called the NACA program, which I will talk about later. And then when I decided was going through the process of buying the house, right? First off, I'm not going to go through, if you can, pay your bills on time, pay off your credit cards, don't use them that much, be intentional about when you use them, get good credit so you can get a great interest rate. Alright, so when I decided that I was going to buy a house, I was going through the housing process, I made sure to get a seller's assist. So I got a seller's assist who gave me 3% back. A seller's assist is when the owner of the house gives you money for the house, alright? So I got a seller's assist, which was very spicy because at that time in Philadelphia, there was bidding wars going on. So to try to get a seller's assist was a bit something. So I got the seller's assist. So also guaranteed rate. I did my loan with them. They gave me around 3% for being a first time home buyer and also having an excellent credit score. So just so you know, disclaimer, guaranteed rate, NACA, none of these people, Amelia, nobody's paying me for an advertisement. I'm just telling you the process I went through to buy my home. Also, at that time, I had a little bit of money in my retirement account because I had been doing that match. Match, if your job has a match, do the match. And I found out that I could take money from my retirement account without being penalized if it was for my first home. Talk to your HR people. It really helped me out because I didn't want to go cash poor and I had money in my savings, but I didn't want to use all the money in my savings because who wants to be house rich and cash poor? And if something happens to the house, like God forbid, like there's a leak or something, you're really just shit out of luck. So I took some money out of my retirement. And that was how I was able to get my down payment. You may not like, or you know, how I did it may not particularly work for you. So, which was renting a room at first, then finding a very cheap apartment and living below my means, and then saving the money, having a good credit score, searching for a seller's assist, trying to find the best home buyer program loan that I could. So if that doesn't work for you for some reason, here's some other ways that you can make it happen. Pool your money. Collective economy. So pool your money with a trusted and compatible friend. The words that I said are all important. Trusted and compatible. Please, this can't work with all of your friends. I know you love them. I know you do, but this can't work with all of your friends. And it probably can't work with all of your partners. But that's neither here nor there. But if you do have a trusted and compatible friend, when I say compatible, I mean your finance goals for the house are compatible, right? So you don't want one who wants it as a forever home and the other person who wants it as an investment home. You guys have to be compatible in your view of the home ownership. So you can create a tenant in common contract where it kind of just lays out who owns what percentage of the house. And this is important because, you know, forbid something happened to one of the homeowners, instead of the heir of that homeowner receiving all of the value of the home, the heir would only receive the value that the deceased person had in the home, and you would still have your own ownership in the home. And so this is really important because you may not alone be able to afford a house or be eligible for a proper mortgage, but combined with your friend, you may be eligible to be in a great neighborhood, and that friend may not be able to match exactly how much you're bringing, but they may have just the right amount that you need to get into that home, and so you guys can do percentages in that way. So that's the way to get in. Or do the NACA program. The NACA program allows you, and that's NACA, the NACA program allows you to like have low interest rate. I think when I was thinking about doing the program, the interest rate was something like 2.85 or something like that. And you can buy points to bring the number even further down. And they kind of help you budget and play an advisory role. And so I think that it is a great program for those of us who really don't have the amount like needed for a big down payment, and someone who maybe needs some financial coaching to get up to par to the point of like buying a home, do it. Like, you can even buy a duplex. I think you can buy up to 4 units and still have it as your personal residence and still be eligible for the NAFTA program. So if you can get a duplex at a 2.85 interest rate, live your life, okay? So look into the NAFTA program. Aside from the NAFTA program, there are cities and states that have first-time home buyers program. Philadelphia has the Philly First home grant that offers assistance up to $10,000 or 6% of the purchase price of the home. Philadelphia is not special, but I'm sure San Francisco or California has these. I'm sure DC has these programs. You just have to do your research to get into these particular programs. And of course there's income eligibilities and all that, but there's some money there, and like, you should definitely try to get the money because, you know, it's kind of like free, you know what I'm saying? Free money, like, it's free, why not? All right, so check out those programs. Also, if you're deciding like you want to live in a rural area, then there are programs for folks who live in rural communities that also give you like free or grants, or that can like lower your down payment. So check it out. Just do your research, because there are some really good programs out there. So another just creative way of like trying to get to home ownership is the FHA 203K home improvement loan. So instead of just buying a newly renovated home or a newly constructed home, maybe you can't afford that, but you can afford to buy a fixer-upper. And so you get that fixer-upper through that FHA 203K loan, and that loan affords you the ability, they give you a loan for the home improvements and a loan for the purchase price. Get into a program, like there's a program in Philadelphia called Jumpstart Philly, and it helps you, like connects you to contractors and things of that nature. But it's mostly, that's an investor program. But find you a contractor or someone that you trust that, you know, can help renovate the home and do it that way. Or you can kind of do it again, like if you have a friend who is great at like construction and is a carpenter of sort. Maybe you can do a tenant in common with that friend and give that friend a percentage of the house for the construction work or renovation work they do for the house. So you can just be creative about it. And I think that we can all kind of get, home ownership is not out of play for us. We can do it. I did it, you can do it. So speaking of carpenters and construction and renovation of homes, I want to give a shout out to Brian Meredith. I follow Brian Meredith just as a homeowner on Instagram, just to see his new projects that he was doing and see if maybe down the line I wanted to use his services, because you know, with the home there's always something you want to add, or there's always something that needs fixing. So he's part of the family, meaning the LGBTQ family, And so I wanted to give my business to him because I felt like he does good work. And so you can find Brian on Instagram, and his name is spelled B-R-Y-A-N, and then on Instagram his name is B-R-Y-A-N-O-W-E-N-M-E-R-E-D-I-T-H, and his company is called MDC Services, and he's awesome. Also, if you know of any realtors, any assessors, any contractors, carpenters, let me know. Hit me up at gayafter30@gmail.com, or you can go on our Instagram site at gayafter30, and just drop their names in my DMs so that I can highlight people like who are doing these things, because I think it's important not only for visibility but also to connect us all so that we can kind of keep that money in the family. All right, so also if you feel like there's some things that I missed in the discussion today about homeownership, or for whatever reason, you can also contact me at gayafter30@gmail.com. That's gayafter30@gmail.com. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me today. Hopefully something was helpful. I gave you some tidbits that you can take on your journey to home ownership. Just know that it is possible. You do a little research here or there. You make some sacrifices here or there, and it can happen for you. Stay well. Happy New Year again.